the traditional center of social life in Britain, but it now looks as though many will have to close down as a result of government intervention. Speak Up reports.
The simple life I can't afford. Besides, I do not like the grub. I want a mash and sausage scored. Will someone take me to a pub? If you were around today to witness it, the poet and essayist J.K. Chesterton would be horrified by what many see as the death of the decent pub. According to Out of Hours, a recent study of British town centres, traditional public houses are being transformed into characterless taverns that are predominantly themed or targeted at young drinkers, with loud music, flashing lights, and mostly standing space rather than lounges or snug rooms. Indata, a market research company, defines only about 20% of Britain's 75,000 pubs as traditional, and many of those are among the 1,000 pubs that are up for sale each month. The decline started in the 1980s as many publicans adjusted to meet yuppie tastes. Trendy wine bars grew up to cater for this new moneyed generation, which preferred a glass of wine or an imported lager to a pint of best bitter. Video games and slot machines quickly replaced darts and dominoes, the traditional pub games. To increase space, the walls dividing the public bar and the saloon bar were pulled down. The resulting large room was usually geared to serious drinking, accompanied by loud music and rock videos, rather than relaxed socializing. Margaret Thatcher then added insult to injury, albeit unintentionally. Following an inquiry into the beer industry by the European Commission, the government decided to go one step further. Most pubs used to have deals with the large national breweries, the Big Six, as they were called. These pubs were known as tide houses, and publicans paid low rent in return for selling the brewer's beer exclusively. Under this somewhat feudal arrangement, brewers were often prepared to subsidize unprofitable pubs. But in 1989, the government passed a law requiring the big brewers to drop their ties with a number of pubs, 11,000 in all, by November 1992. The free market theory behind the move was to end the monopoly of the Big Six by increasing competition, widen the choice of beers available at pubs, and reduce the price to the consumer. In reality, the effect has been very different. John Wells is managing director of the Charles Wells Brewery in Bedford.
Not surprisingly, the pubs that they are selling are the ones at the bottom end of the profitability list. And if they can't make money out of them, not many other people can either. And so what is actually happening is that a number of pubs are closing and will close, because the biggest market for these small pubs are companies like ourselves, with a relatively small pub estate, which we would like to expand. In order to buy bigger and better pubs, which may be coming from the rich man's table, we obviously have to dispose some of our smaller pubs in turn.
How is it going to affect the consumer?
The consumer, I think, will get a smaller range of beer. Three of the, in fact, larger, smaller brewers have already decided to pull out of brewing. And I think that there will be quite a number of others that don't follow suit, particularly as reinvestment in brewing plant becomes necessary. It just isn't economically sensible. So I think a lot more people will decide to come out of brewing, with the consequent loss of the choice of beers and of brands. And I think the world would be a poorer place for all of that.
What about prices?
Prices, I think, will not change, because the price of beer in a pub is controlled much more by the overheads of the pub rather than by the wholesale price of beer. The overheads of a pub really are to do with heating, lighting, local taxes, labour, of course, wage costs are a high proportion of pub overhead costs. So the price of beer to the consumer through the pub is, I think, going to be driven upwards.
In other words, none of the government's original objectives have been achieved. In fact, aided and abetted by the economic recession, they've even been reversed. In response, some 3,000 angry publicans protested last year at the Conservative Party conference. Recently introduced health and safety regulations also mean that they have to invest in expensive new equipment and staff training. Some disillusioned pub owners, especially in rural areas, have decided that it simply doesn't pay to run a pub and closed their doors. Others are shedding their traditional image and becoming more market-oriented to appeal to a specific type of customer. Hence, the bright lights and videos.
What sort of pub is going to suffer as a result of this new regulation, if we can call it that?
It's going to be the small country pub, the pub in the country village, which serves as a community of maybe 150, 200, even up to 500 people. Drink driving laws mean that it can't rely as a matter of course on attracting custom from other villages or nearby towns. And so it has to live increasingly off its local community. And they just don't provide enough volume of business to justify the tenants staying in the pub.
Now, is the public generally aware of these changes, and are we going to be aware of them in the future, perhaps? Are we going to see less pubs?
They're going to be aware of them, yes. The public is just beginning to notice what's going on. I personally think that you won't actually find out until probably the summer of 1992, when there are pub closures at the rate of 10 or 20 a week in the vulnerable areas, because in so many country villages in England now, the pub is the only centre of the community. There's no shop, there's no post office. There's nowhere else for people to go to meet people. And it's those community centres that are going to vanish. It's a very sad story, the whole thing. It's a story of incredible wrongheadedness. An obstinate wrongheadedness that simply wouldn't listen to what the industry was saying would happen.
Speaker! Courtesy, says the polite.